Welcome to part two of our conversation with James Copert about the Haunted Youth Center. Did any of the kids feel more drained than normal? Did anybody express any of that, like, once they left the building after their, session there or whatever they had come to the building for whatever event it may have been? Did you ever hear any of that being expressed by anybody of just, like, you know, abnormally tired, abnormally kind of worn down, almost as if, you know, these things really, you know, they took the battery of the child and just, you know, overrode it, you know, more energy was, you know, expelled out of that individual than normally would be had they been doing the same activities in another setting?
I think it's quite difficult to measure in a sense, because what I was bringing them into the building was to talk one to one and,
yeah,
for them expressing their emotions and going through all the things that have happened and things. So, and again, if we look at historically at poltergeist cases, they normally occur around people, certain individuals with high emotion.
Mm-hmm.
So again, just expressing those feelings and emotions would feed it. I think for me personally, I've got a lot of physical illnesses as it is, but during that period of where I was in there a lot, I was falling asleep at my desk quite a lot. It was becoming quite a big issue. And since I've left that post, that's not occurring. My energy levels have kind of increased massively since I've been in, like, not been in that building. Think when things changed as well. So if you painted a wall or moved things around or repurposed a room, things would amp up then as well. So any change really affected it. So, you know, when they were painting, someone told me recently that they were painting the room, and when they came down, the paint roller was spinning on the floor,
mm-hmm,
just like a spinning top. So things would always amp up during that period of change as well.
How many spirits do you think are haunting the center, or do you think it's just kind of one big glob of something that's doing a lot of stuff kind of at once?
So when Abbey Ghost Hunters came in, when things were just getting too much, and I said, look, I know these people, I've done some stuff with them, they're amazing, you know, they can help if anyone can, and I brought them in. At first, we thought there was a few. Now, one of the things as well that we saw, so we were walking upstairs, myself and a few colleagues, and at the top floor, which is where we did feel uncomfortable, there was kind of a person there as if they had a sheet just wrapped tight around their head and neck, just stood in the doorway, and we were just like, nope, we're not going in there.
Yeah.
And people did see different things. So and the guy with the static, we went downstairs, and he ran downstairs screaming because he saw someone with a hood just running down the corridor towards him. So the people were seeing different things. And when the group first went in, they were picking up different things. But when we kind of got down to it, we think there was one entity that was changing shape. And another feature would be you'd hear things. It was quite audible. Even people that didn't have, like, clairaudience that would still hear things. So I'd sometimes hear a lady upstairs going, help, you know, like really pleading in a really sweet voice.
Mm-hmm.
When Angie went up there, she heard a baby crying. Another one of my colleagues heard screaming, and it would seem to play and try and manipulate whoever was there to pay attention to it. And from some of the research again that Abbey Ghost Hunters did, is they found out that in the 80s there was a group in there called Duke of Edinburgh who, they do kind of, it's an award that they do by doing lots of outdoor pursuits and different challenges. And one of the traditions that they used to do when they stayed over was do a Ouija board. And this is where things have come through and kind of stayed.
Yeah. Do you think that that is the gateway as to where things started in terms of haunting in this structure, is when they were doing the Ouija board at that time in the 80s?
I think so. I think this entity, this specific entity, kind of who was the one really in charge of anything else that was there or did come in there,
mm-hmm,
I think that did come through then. And then that's why it was so strong in that one particular dorm room.
Yeah.
It got really nasty towards the end as well. So they basically we came in and they end up we had some EVPs as well during this time. So when the first night Abbey Ghost Hunters came in, the first thing that happened was these guys have been doing it for decades. They're really professional. They had all their equipment charged. They took it upstairs and straight away all the cameras were dead. Every single equipment that they took up that room had to be recharged. The batteries just went. We had EVPs, so we Mark said to me, right, we're going to go in that room now. And then on the actual recording, you hear someone say, "And what thou hast," which is old English for "and then what you're going to do." They set up a video camera, and we couldn't see it in real, but on the screen, Angie stood there, and there's a shadow of someone, quite short, on, kind of shoulder length, and it was just there, and it kind of just sunk to the floor, like suddenly sunk to the floor, and then you could see it kind of moving up and down the walls, this shadow. So things straight away, as soon as they went in, were occurring, so they knew what was going on and having to deal with it. And it was definitely centered around that one room, which we think was where it came in.
Do you believe that, or let me ask you this, what do you believe the intent of the spirits were that were haunting this center? Was there individual intent from different spirits, or were they all kind of working in tandem for the same goal?
When Angie was communicating with them, she said that there is one central entity, and she said it's an entity and she knows what it is. And although she didn't go any further into details to me about it, and that was pulling the strings and making the others do its bidding. And I don't know. I think it was existing. I think it was stuck in that building for definite. And it was surviving off the energy within the room. It obviously felt ownership as because if things changed, it wasn't happy. But kind of as I stopped this, when I was told to stop kind of communicating and doing it, things started to get a lot darker, and it was trying to scare. I was in there once and my hands started itching, and I looked at my hands and I had kind of ligature, as if my arms had been tied in rope, really, that were there for a good 10 minutes afterwards, you know, that looked exactly like rope marks on my hands. I even got scratched on my stomach, because it was also started threatening the female members of staff, and I basically threatened it and said we would do something if this continues. So what, people started getting their hair pulled. One of my colleagues went in a cupboard and heard someone behind her, and they thought someone else was going to play a joke on her. But something growled, a guttural growl in her ear, and she turned around. There was no one there. So things started to get really kind of dark.
Yeah.
As I stopped entertaining it, in a sense.
You said that the investigation team that had come in, one of the members said that they knew what it was, but they kind of stopped there in terms of explaining it. That obviously, when we're talking about these things, it's all conjecture, it's all opinion, based on what one thinks something is, based on their own experiences. You're based on your experiences, based on your sensitivities and such. If someone were to ask you, not based on what others have said, but on your own experiences, what do you think it was? And it can be multiple things that are in or is in that building.
So I think it's something very ancient that came through. It seemed to know who you were and what your thought was and what your mind was. And I think it could manipulate you quite easy. I don't think it was someone who had passed, but I think it did attract other spirits of the past into the building. What one thing when they did come in, and this is quite strange, is there was one chap from this team, and I hadn't, although I'd worked with Mark and Angie before in my own home, I'd never met this guy before, and he's from a different county even. And he only knew my first name, and he was getting really deeply affected when they were trying to deal with this entity. And he ended up being hypnotized. And at this time as well, we were all feeling physically sick within that room.
Yeah.
And they were hypnotizing him, and they were talking to him, and they were trying to ask his name. And I walked in the room, and this guy turned to me, faced me, and laughed at me when Mark was asking his name. And he looked at me and he said, "My name's Lawrence," and started laughing. And Lawrence is my dead brother. So it was almost that was very nasty and mocking as well.
Yeah.
You know, he thought that was hilarious. And this guy didn't know me or my history. You know, I have absolutely no doubt about that. And I did even ask the rest of the team, "Did you tell him who I was and anything like that?" They said, all he knew was, "Your name is James. That's it." So,
wow.
You know, that there was that kind of, and I had to leave the room. I felt physically sick.
Sure.
I was dizzy and sick, and it wasn't just me. A couple of other team felt that within that kind of, they were fighting with it. So Mark and Angie were giving it the option of leaving or staying in that one room. That was kind of the option they gave it.
When you had that happen, that incident of almost like someone was somewhat possessed, or something was using that individual as a vessel and was mocking you and using the name of your deceased brother, what was going through your mind in terms of, can I continue to work here knowing that there's something like this that has that power to know these things about me? You know, were you ever starting to question your safety or there's another term that I think we'll start using more, your mental safety, your mental sanity when you're around something like that? Because I think some of those things, you know, can use supernatural or paranormal events to, you know, screw with one's own just, you know, mental makeup, you know, the more you tamper with that, you know, and the more traumatizing experiences one has, you know, if they're paranormal or not, you know, that can mess with someone quite a bit. Even if the activity itself has stopped, the damage can be done. Did you ever feel like this is just not a good place for me at some point based on some of those things that were happening to you?
I did, in terms of my physical sense as well, because I was exhausted and I was in exceptional pain continuously, and I was thinking, are things feeding off me? And yeah. I did have concerns that was this going to come home with me? And I've got children at home. Do I want to bring anything like that back with me? In terms of, I've had, as you know, hauntings all my life. Pretty much everywhere I go, every day something happens. But it was this night especially was literally like something out of a Hollywood horror movie.
Yeah,
it was like almost, you know, a set. You could imagine cameras rolling, it being on screen. It was that insane. And while this was going on, I looked down and saw, whether it was in my mind's eye or there, I remember it really clearly, was something crawled from under the bed, and it was almost like a human face on, but like an alligator shaped body, but with hands instead of feet and things like that. And that's when I just left the room. I was just like, that was too much for me then. I felt physically sick and dizzy. I felt like I was going to pass out, if I'm honest. And it was scary. It was genuinely scary. And to know that they can pick all your secrets out and potentially use them to manipulate you is, you know, really something else. You know, that they're things trapped within your own mind, aren't they? And that's something and you could access and then communicate to someone else, and someone else kind of invading that personal privacy and taking it. It does open up a lot of questions that you may never want to answer in terms of what it is and what they could potentially use that for.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where the truth is, you know, maybe scarier than reality. Or what we perceive to be reality, just because it goes through so many barriers of structures that we perceive to be sacred, things that things can and can't do. And it kind of turns some of that stuff on its head. Did you ever feel like anything ever did follow you out of that building and made its way back home with you?
No, I always felt kind of, I had my own issues at home anyway with something else, but I always did feel that once I'd shut that door, that was it. And you did kind of feel that the second you're out the door.
Yeah.
It was within that building and probably still is there now. It's kind of, you did feel like you shut the door and left it behind. What one young person even said, they went up one night after something had happened and they took the brothers and sisters and they went up to the door, and the second they got to the door, there was a massive bang on the door from inside, and they ran off. And I think if it could leave, it would have done something outside the door if it wanted to. I think it was stuck within those four walls.
Why do you think it was stuck within the four walls?
I don't know whether that's where things get with their power within the structure. There was a little girl that they picked up that said she had literally walked on the street and come. It wasn't connected to the building. She had decided to come in. There is something about buildings, I think, whether it's the metals and the magnetism within some of the building materials, whether it's within the ground, this where the building situated is on a clifftop overlooking the North Sea. I honestly don't know. I don't even have even a guess as to why they're stuck in buildings, really, unless, especially something that doesn't have a connection to that building. If they do, then those feelings and emotions could be the thing that manifests it. But when something's walked through, say, a portal, from our understanding, from a Ouija board, I honestly don't know.
What was your last straw? How did you end up leaving the building? Was it something paranormal related or just professionally?
So the building, which is why I'm talking about it now, because I think if it was still in use, I wouldn't talk about it to the public, because I wouldn't want to scare the people that needed to use that service in that building. So it's been sold now due to the cuts again in terms after the recession. Mm-hmm. There were services were just being kind of cut down and buildings sold. So that was one of them that they kind of got rid of. And it's been bought and it's going to be turned into flats. And I guarantee that there are going to be workmen doing work there. It'll be running out of that building and refusing to go back.
This is not the first chapter, or this is just the first chapter in the story, it sounds like.
I dread to think what it's going to be like when people do live there, mm-hmm. because they're going to be giving that energy 24/7 to these things. And it's not going to be appropriate. The people won't stay there.
Do you feel that, though, it will be a different type of energy? I mean, there's certainly a different energy when we're not talking about anything paranormal, but just there's a different energy when you're in the hallway of a youth center and there's activity going on with the kids and things. And there's very different activity when you're standing in the hallway of your house, you know, and it's just maybe you and your family, or maybe just you. You know, it's a very different feeling. Do you think that this is a building that maybe in its new life, in its new existence as flats, that it will maybe amp itself down a little bit because it won't be getting so much gasoline poured onto the fire?
There is that idea that, you know, when you've got a lot of young people, high energy, and especially the young people we work with high level of needs in terms of emotions, mm-hmm. that will have amped it up. But it's just the fact when anything changed, even if you kind of rearrange the room, that would feed it. So completely restructuring the building, I think it thinks it's its building, and it'll be really angry, for that to happen.
Yeah.
And I think with someone living there as well, they're going to end up having to pay attention to it because it will occur. And I think that will then just feed the whole process off again.
So what is your level of interest in the building going forward? Are you going to be someone who stops by the construction site every now and then saying, "Hey, how are things going?" Or are you just going to watch from afar and hear the rumblings?
I have already posted a letter to the new owner and said, you know, are you aware that this building's haunted? And I'd like to go in and really try and help
Did you get a response?
I do the job I do because I like helping people.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always done. And I do just really worry about the people that are going to live there. I feel sorry for them.
Sure.
Especially if they're going to have kids. Those kids are going to be traumatized. And I just want to try and move whatever's there on completely.
Did you get a response after sending the letter?
Not yet. I haven't given up yet. I'll be back.
I don't know that I would. I'd appreciate that letter if I was developing the building. You know, I would and I wouldn't. It's more like an oh shit moment, not like a screw you for telling me this, but more like a hard truths that you don't want to have to process. I'm sure, you know, maybe they get the letter and then things start to happen and then it's like, okay, maybe there is something to that letter. So yeah, yeah. Don't lose hope because you may be getting a response back in a year or two.
Yeah. Well, I think if they don't believe at first, if it's a complete non-believer, mm-hmm. and they screw the letter up, I think after a few weeks into the work, they'll be trying to find it again.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with James Copert about the Haunted Youth Center. A big thanks to him for joining us again in the Grave Talks for another very fascinating discussion. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for your support.